Anyway, well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to all the usual suspects I see out there. A hearty welcome to you and to all the new faces this morning that may be out there that I haven't got to meet yet, but good morning to you as well. And I want you to know, here at MCC, Mama Chris Church, we always have a place for you. Maybe up on the front row, but we always have a place here for you at MCC. Now, to everyone that's here or that is joining us online, I am so glad you joined us this morning as we get together and worship God, and we're doing it the way He intended, as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, for all of you, turn your listening ears on this morning. I want you to know that we do our very best to be a group of Christ followers who are for. We, of course, are for God and for you, but we're also for families, and we're also for our community around us, for Muhammad. And we would like you to join us in that, join us in our trek to be for those four and to do the things God wants us to do. And today, right here, right now, we are going to continue our series on the kingdom, God's kingdom. Last week, we looked at the kingdom being here. We talked about what it is and that it's here now, and it's in this church. It's in us as individuals. We are the church through the Holy Spirit, and that we are promised also the final stage of the kingdom, the eternal kingdom, when Jesus returns, when He comes back as King of Kings. I want to kick off today's topic of kingship, though. That's our topic today, kingship. Kingship in the kingdom. And I just want to remind you of the big point we made last week, that God is the King. He reigns over everything, and Jesus is the rightful King of God's kingdom. Now, Jesus, when He comes back, is not going to have to go to the big stone and pull out the sword like some kings had to do. No King Arthur situation here. Jesus has already been made the King. He already has been given the title. Jesus' kingship, He is our King. And I want to go to a couple scriptures that talk about God as the overall King, reigning over everything, and Jesus is being made King of His kingdom. Let's look first at Psalm 95, 1 through 3. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. I almost said joyfully. Oh my gosh, that Illini game messed me up yesterday. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. Man, that's awesome news, isn't it? And now I want to go to Revelation. I want to go to the end of the book. Revelation 17, 14. Together they will go against. They will go to war against the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus, that's right. But the Lamb, Jesus, will defeat them because He is Lord of all lords and King of all kings. And His called and chosen and faithful ones, who's that? Us. Yes. We will be with Him. That's awesome news too. That is awesome news too. Jesus is King, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. He is sovereign. There is no one greater. There are millions of people throughout the world, though, who don't choose to live as if Christ is King. They choose not to live as Christ as their King. But that does not change the simple truth that Christ is the King over everything. It doesn't change the truth because someone doesn't want to believe in the truth. The fact of the matter is, the truth is, Jesus is King of kings over everything. Christ is King over the good. Christ is King over the bad. Christ is King over the Christian, over the Buddhist, over the Satanist, over the agnostic, and yes, over the atheist. He or she doesn't have to believe that there's a God, that it doesn't change the fact that He is King. It does not matter if you acknowledge His authority and His reign over you or not. It doesn't matter. He is the King, and like it or not, He is your King. You or I do not make Christ King of our life as if we have the power or authority to do so. We don't have that power or authority. But we can accept him as king. We can accept his kingship, or we can choose, like many others, to deny it. But I want to make sure you understand, it does not change anything. He is already King of Kings, and whether you accept it or deny it, he is the King. Are we clear on the kingship of Jesus today in this church? Yes. Yeah, good, because I don't want to spend any more time on that piece this morning. But I want to go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And in there it tells us, "Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names." Who's the him?
Jesus,
that's right. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, or should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's the Bible mic drop for the point I've been making already this morning, right? God said it. God did it. He made him the name above all names, the king above all other kings, the Lord above every other lord. And whether you like it or not, you're going to bow to him one day. Me? I can't wait. I cannot wait. Some other people, I'm not too sure they want to be there that day. But guess whose job it is to try to get them to realize what they're missing out on and what they will regret if they don't? It's ours. We have a responsibility, so we can't just wipe our hands of it. I'd like to sometimes, but we can't. We've got to keep going and doing what we're doing. Because this passage, it not only looks to the future, that there's a coming day when every person who has ever lived will bow, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is King. But it also points out to the Christian the reality that Christ is Lord. As followers of the King, we are his subjects and should live every minute of our lives in faithful submission to Christ, realizing his supremacy. Sadly, the belief that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we just talked about it. There's millions that don't accept that, right? But sadly, even amongst American Christians today, there are many who don't really, truly believe that point. Many people who call themselves Christians are willing to view Jesus as, think about it, they're willing to say, Jesus, oh, he was a baby in the manger, I can deal with that. Or he was the son of a carpenter, no problem there. He was even a dynamic teacher, great speaker. And he's been a great friend to many. And some will even say he's a miracle worker. And perhaps there may be just a few or some that may go as far as seeing him as a suffering savior. But they won't go all in and see Jesus as the physically resurrected ruler, as a physically resurrected king sitting on a throne who reigns. They won't go that far. And there's a reason for that. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. And unfortunately, there's also some Christians that are a little bit farther along on the scope of things, and they have come to Christ with that posture of, meet my buddy Jesus. And it's okay, Jesus is your friend. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But a buddy that you just hang out with, that you just laugh with, is missing so much. Because when you do that, just when it's all about that, you're ignoring his divinity. You're ignoring the fact that he is God, that he is King Jesus. One day, we will see him seated on the throne, where he will rule for all eternity. But we shouldn't wait till then, Christians. We shouldn't wait, brothers and sisters, church. Today, we should already be claiming Jesus is King and he is Lord. What should it look like to stop treating Jesus as simply just some role model or some good guy out there or my buddy Jesus? What should it look like as we start serving him as our sovereign King? Maybe the better question is, what would it take to do this, to live with him as King of Kings in our lives? One word, I said it already, submission. Submission. It's an ugly word to some. That's why some do not accept him as King of Kings. They do not want to submit to him. They don't want to have to give up anything to have them in his life, right? They don't want to give up or reduce or surrender anything to him. He's okay as baby Jesus at Christmas time. That's okay. Nothing I have to surrender or submit to there. He's okay as that great teacher teaches me how to treat others. That's okay. That's a good thing. But I like my life. I like what I do. And they're saying, I don't want to give up anything that I enjoy doing to submit to him as king. Because he may take me a whole different direction. He may tell me to sell off some things. He may tell me I can't buy that sports car I want. He may tell me I can't go golfing every time I want to, that I may have something else to do. I don't want to give up that, right? They have problems with this word, submission. And this word gets a bad rep. And we rarely use it because of that. And I want to tell you, this is the dictionary definition of it. It is the willful act of yielding to the power, control, or authority of another. That's submission, right? But submission for us as Christians is the way of Jesus. It's the way Jesus lived every day. If he was walking somewhere to go meet someone, it's because God led him that way. It may not have been what he felt like doing that morning, but his whole day was about doing what God asked him to do. And if God said go, Jesus went. God said talk to this person, Jesus talked to that person. You see, he was submitted his life every day to Jesus or to God. That's submission. It's the way of Jesus. It's not a bad word. It's not a bad thing. If the King of Kings, our Christ, our Savior, the Messiah did it, seems like a pretty good idea for all of us to do it too. It's voluntary. It's a choice. You can choose not to do it, or you can choose to follow the way of Christ. And it's also a critical part of our maturing process as a disciple of Christ. To be a true follower of Jesus, to call him our King, our Lord, Christians have to learn to be submissive. He should direct our lives, our preferences, and behaviors so we become more like him every day. So how do we submit to God? Well, there's one thing first, before we get to the four things on the outline. There's one thing that is non-negotiable. It has to be done first. And if you haven't done this, the other four things won't matter to you yet. You should take notes on it, because one day it will, if you ever get to this point, you ever do this first step. The first thing we got to do is accept him as our Savior. Accept him as Christ in our lives. Okay, that's the first thing. If you haven't come to a point where you know Jesus as your Savior and you're not quite ready, the next four things I'm talking about aren't going to really mean a lot to you yet. But if you hang around here long enough, we'll help you get there, because Christ is working through us to reach you. And when he does, these four things will be important to you, so please follow along. But I can't emphasize how important it is to take the first step, to start the process, come forward, accept Jesus as your Savior. Right? Repent of your sins and get baptized. Get that part done. It's important. It's crucial. You can't do the rest. You've got to do that first, because none of it matters. He's not fully your king if you're not ready to even accept him as your Savior. So you got to do that first. But then there are four things we need to do to submit to him. And the first one is, and this is how we can submit to him, acknowledge his sovereignty. Let go and let God, essentially, folks. We've heard that around here before, right? When I talk about God's sovereignty, I'm referring to his ultimate power, his authority and control over the entire universe. It is his absolute right and freedom to do all things according to his will. You can't stop him, right? How many of you liked basketball in the 80s and early 90s? Anybody like basketball in the early 90s? How many liked NBA basketball in particular in the 80s and 90s? I did. I ate it up. I'm surprised Paulie married me as much as I watched NBA basketball back then. Because I love the Bulls. I love Michael Jordan. And there were nights, man, there wasn't anybody on that court that could stop that man. Couldn't stop him from scoring, couldn't stop him from stealing, couldn't stop him from doing anything, right? He was just unstoppable. There's one force that could have stopped Michael Jordan. God. He is truly unstoppable. There ain't anything he can't do if he chooses to do it. I could start my sentence right now, and I could drop dead to right here. And that's his right to do it. He can stop me from breathing right now. I don't want it yet. I'd like to do a few more things down here. But if he chooses, there's nothing I can do about it. It's his plan. It's his way. He is the God. He is the God. He's the only God. And there's nothing anybody can do to stop him. That's unstoppable. That is sovereignty. He is not constrained by anything outside of him. There's nothing that constrains him. He's aware of everything that happens. Do not think otherwise. He is, that's the way I want to put this, because I don't like the way I wrote it. He is in control of everything, but he doesn't necessarily control it, right? He doesn't make people murder one another, but he's watching over it, and at some point, it's going to go the way he wants it to go. He's going to let us make our decisions. Do not get me wrong. We have free will. But he can take anything we do, even if it's something bad, and turn it into good. Because he is in the ultimate control. And what's the ultimate end to the story for all of us? Where are we going to spend eternity? And everything the world that happens in the world is all leading to that point. Maybe not the way we want it, because we all know we could do it better, right? We can make it easier on life and do things different than God. But God knows what he's doing, and he is ultimately in control. He is not just able to respond to the events as they occur, but he's actually orchestrating things behind the scenes to get them to where he wants them to go. And where does he want them to go? Us with him in relationship, worshiping him. And he wants everybody that's willing, that wants it, to do it. He wants us all worshiping him. He wants us all with him. In heaven, he wants us all together. In our own lives, we don't always understand certain things, right? There are things in your life, I'm sure, that you don't quite get or understand why they happened. I know there's things that have come along my way that I still can't understand, even years later. And we're going to face trials, hardships, disappointments. But we can take comfort in the fact that God is sovereign and he is in control. He is in control of everything that happens. He has a plan. Even though we can't always see it, he is working all things together for his glory. And ultimately, that's for our good. That's the first step. Acknowledge God's sovereignty. Second thing, it's not really a step, but the second thing we need to do to submit to God is listen for and to him, right? We got to listen for and to him. Not always easy. We have to be ready to hear him. We must be alert and ready to hear him speak into our lives. And once he speaks, we must hear what he says and then obey what he says. We must submit to his plan, his guidance, his will. We must be prepared to hear him and listen as we do this through, the first thing, get into his word. First thing we need to listen to him through is his word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. The Bible was written to guide us, to teach us, to train us. That's what the Bible is there for. It's one of the best ways to hear from God. It's one of the best ways that we can learn what he wants us to do. To walk in God's way, we have to read his word closely enough to know what to do. Glancing at verses will not tell us enough. If we practice a daily habit of reading God's word, we will know what God expects of us and how he wants us to live our lives, which will help us to submit to him by obeying what he says in his word. We're going to hear from him. If you're in the word, you will hear from him. So I want to encourage you this week to spend time reading the scriptures. And if you do in the back of your Bible and you look up surrender or surrendering or submitting, look up those and look at scripture specifically against that this week. Spend time understanding what it is he wants us to do. Meditate on them. Don't just go, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Did my Bible reading. Look at the scriptures. Think about the Revelation scripture we just said about the Lamb and him being above all and conquering all, and everything could go war against him and he's going to win. Think about what that means to you. Think about what it means to your life. Go spend time in the Word and meditating on what the scripture says. Besides the Word, God also speaks to us, and we can hear him if we're listening through prayer. Prayer is key to our Christian life. If we want to live a life of submission to God, our prayer enables us to receive God's grace, which we need to submit to him, and it acts as a communication link between us and him. Prayer, like daily time spent in his Word, helps us strengthen our Christian faith, especially in the age we live in. Man, today, I don't know how you can get through a day without going to him in prayer. It's crazy, all the stuff that's going on, isn't it? Got to go to him in prayer. Got to spend time talking to him about this. If we give ourselves to prayer, we'll find it easier to do what God asks, because prayer energizes and recharges our spiritual life. It does. There are times that I have gone to him and I am just fed up with something. And after praying, I'm reminded that he's there, that he's going to get me through. It helps give me the energy I need to keep moving forward. We need it. If you don't believe me, there's people in this church. Come up after me and I'll direct you to them. And they can tell you how prayer is getting them through, and it gives them energy just to get up in the morning some days. It's that important, right? Parents, when your kids move out of the house, right? They always come back. But when they do move out, right? Now think about this, parents. If it wasn't for sometimes FaceTime or being able to call them on a cell phone, how would you communicate with your kids? How would you talk to them? So if we're not spending time in prayer, we're God's children. How are we going to have time to talk to him? And we need to give him more than just the Sunday call during church. Hey, God, at church today, glad I'm here. Let's do this. That's a great prayer. Don't get me wrong. But you want to know more what's going on, right? Let me ask you, do you want to hear from God? Do you really want to hear from God? Then you got to spend time in prayer. You have to make time for prayer. I challenge you this week to ask God, which is prayer, to help you submit daily to him and to give you the strength to completely follow his will. We submit to God, finally, when we follow his will. Woo! Following his will. Think back to when he was teaching about the Lord's Prayer. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And he was teaching people how to pray. And you don't have to use these words exactly, was his point, but his point was it should be part of your daily prayer life. He said, pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your what? Will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should be praying for his will to be done, and that includes in our lives. We should be seeking it for our lives and everything we do. When we pray and when we read scriptures, we should be seeking out God's will. What he wants us to do, where does he want us to go, or how does he want us to respond to a particular situation? And here's a little note just to make this. You don't have to wait till the situation's right in front of you until it's the key moment to ask God what he wants you to do. If there's something coming up that you already know about, or there's confrontation that you know you're going to have to make it work, or whatever it is, pray about it ahead of time. Not just right before you go in your boss's office. Pray about it ahead of time. Okay? Ask him to help. What's your will, God? How should I respond? What should I do? Now, some of you are saying, but how do I follow a will I don't know his will? How do I follow it when I don't get it? Or some of you may ask, how do I know what he wants me to do? I'm going to give you an answer. But understand, this answer I'm about to give you is not mine. Trust me, this is not my answer. He gave me an answer to those questions about 16 years ago, because I asked the same things of him. And I didn't like his answers. It was a gib slap in the back of the head for you NCIS fans out there. I said, God, what do you want me to do? Where should I go? What should I do next? He said this. He says, I'll tell you my will. He said, first I want to tell you I love you. But understand, I'm not going to force my will on you. But when you seek my will, you will find it. When you truly listen to me, you will receive it. When you read my scriptures, you will discover it. When you stop ignoring me during the day, you will recognize it. And when you give me your full attention, stop reaching for distractions. You will know my will, and you will hear my answer. When you submit to me, he said, and put everything else second, I'm going to give you my answer. But remember, the choice is yours. You can give me lip service, or you can listen. I didn't like that answer. But he was right. If you want to follow God's will, if you want to know it, what it is for you, then I want you to remember this simple prayer. And it came from a former second baseman of the New York Yankees called Bobby Richardson. And he once prayed at an FCA event. He said this, Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. But don't pray it until you're ready to mean it. Until you're ready to give him his full attention, from scriptures to prayer to your daily walk, everything that you do. Start praying that, and it'll help remind you. It'll help keep you focused on getting to God's will as you walk this life here on earth. And the final thing we can do to help us submit to God and to truly give in to him and as King of Kings is to worship him. Man. Think about what worship is. It's an encounter with the living and holy God. Worship is recovered for God alone, or is reserved for God alone. In worship, we ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due him. We can worship because of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. We should worship with reverence for God. When we draw near to God, he draws near to us. I'm going to read, this is a lot of scripture today, I know, but I want to read my favorite scripture about worship. And I've read it here before, once before, but it's Revelation 5, 11 through 14. And this is part of John's vision. He gets to witness this, and then he tells us about it, and this is the best way he can describe it. So here it goes. Then I looked again. I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. A million plus angels singing that to the Lamb. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, Amen. And the 24 elders, the leaders, fell down and worshiped the Lamb. That's our example. We are to worship the King of Kings, Jesus. And we can worship God through music and through prayer. Through reading the Bible and many other forms, we can read him, we can worship him as we serve him. One great example of worshiping him is voluntarily submitting to God. That in itself is an act of worship. It's an act of worship because anytime we submit to God, we are saying, Lord, you are greater than me. And I need to trust you and follow you. What do you want me to do? What I want to do doesn't matter. What do you want me to do? That's worship. I love this quote from John Piper about true worship. It says, true worship is a valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. And we can tie that into one word. That's submission. Putting God above everything else. MCC, we find freedom in submission to God. And we experience His love and blessings in our lives when we do this like never before. So let us surrender our lives to God. Let us submit to the King of Kings today and experience the fullness of His love and His blessings. And today's takeaway is different. It's different because it means different things to different people depending on where you're at with God. But it's something we all need to know and remember. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, He expects you to submit to Him as your King. But He will not make you. He's not even going to beg you. But if you accept Him as Savior, it's a simple expectation. Submit to Him as your King. I love Scripture, but I think we need to close with Scripture today. And it's from Jesus' words Himself. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. So why do you keep calling Me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? That's for those out there who won't claim Him as King of Kings. If you're going to pray to Me and say all these things, how great I am, but then you don't hear Me, you don't listen to Me, why? How can you call Me Lord, Lord? How can you call Me King of Kings if you're not listening and you're not doing what I tell you? And then He says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to Me, listens to My teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. You want to get through this life? Submit to Him as King of Kings. Let your foundation be in God. Let your foundation be in Jesus. And then you'll be able to take whatever the world throws at you, whatever Satan throws at you. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. But you will stand because you stand with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 49, but anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. See the difference? Man, I want us to have hundreds of houses built on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ in this church. And we'll take anything Satan can bring at us. We'll take anything the world wants to throw at us. We'll take anything the woke culture wants to throw at us. Because we're going to stand. We're going to stand with Christ. And we're going to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray.